Jeff Steins, our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books at nextchapterbookstotallyiowa.com as well. He's got the Iowa Business Report he does each week down there in Iowa. And, of course, he joins us from KXEL, where he puts out the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff.
Matthew, how goes the world?
I'll let you go when you get the chance. I know you're busy down there, got a lot of things going on in Iowa, but read the details of the body cam footage that they released from the George Floyd case. And my goodness.
And I heard just a bit of it at the end of the last segment where once again, you show your versatility by doing impressions, doing voices. Mm-hmm. I always love when you act out being dumb guy or whatever it is.
Oh, it's a real tough act for me, dumb guy. See, it's just right off the tip of the tongue. Speaking of dumb guy, Trump.
I was a short list, but I had a feeling I knew who was at the top. Okay.
What's your thought on what we saw yesterday? Well, which was, by the way, illegal. You're not supposed to do a political rally on White House grounds. You're not supposed to do that.
Factually discuss it.
Even Kai Rizdal over on PBS was like, what are you doing? I understand he is desperate to get in front of a crowd. He's desperate to do these rallies like Tulsa where he can get, he gets that red meat base that's there. But the reality is that I think what's happening is since he can't do that, you're just going to see him do a rally type of thing everywhere he goes.
The first thing I noticed about it was, in essence, I'll call it a bait and switch. And what he's wound up doing is ensuring that CNN and MSNBC and any of the major networks that are not Fox, they'll never cover him again in a live event. Because what did he say? I'm going to sign an order with regard to Hong Kong and China and all of this.
Yeah.
That was ostensibly it. So you show up, right? You figure, okay, here's a news event. And it quickly went off the rails. So as I recall, and I was actually listening via the radio to it. So there was 30, 45 seconds worth of that news. And then we are off for the better part of an hour plus of what was styled a news conference. Now, again, these news organizations, Matt, are going to cover it when it's called a news conference because you think, now by definition, traditionally, that has meant there will be questions asked and answered. But here's the thing where you really have to, and this is not new, but it's enhanced. You have to consider the source of your information before you determine how much of it to believe. So, for example, I can tell you just from radio programming, the president was live for about a half hour, the last half hour of the Sean Hannity radio show and the first half hour of the Mark Levin show. And then Levin finishes telling us how wonderful the president was, goes to a break, then comes back. And literally, you would have thought it was the greatest piece of presidential oratory in the history of the republic, bar none, times two. Well, no, it wasn't. It was just vamping. Okay, as much as anything else. He was just stream of consciousness. But it served the purpose for that audience because they heard it. They now have been told how wonderful it was, and they're not going to dispute that. But here's, I think, what is a real salient point. We're less than 120 days before Election Day, and if any politician has to work this hard to secure their base at this point, that suggests trouble, does it not?
Oh, it does. And by the way, I think which is hilarious is I think there's a lot of people out there that had no idea that press conference was – there was a purpose to this. It was that sanctions on China or condemnation of China for Hong Kong. And because that completely – that doesn't exist anymore. And so, it's kind of one of those things. I had someone say to me this morning, it's like, why is China wanting to put new sanctions on us? And I said, it was actually that press conference, which we never really got to. And even CNN, I think it was Wolf Blitzer, said, all right, we've seen enough of that. And, kind of quickly cuts away from the crazy talk. It's one thing if he's going to try to pull this off. He can't just go on out there And, I mean, he's not talking to that base. I mean, I have seen – we had the rally in Minneapolis. You saw Tulsa. You see these rallies. And he goes on out there, and he is – that's exactly who he is. He is this hard-to-follow, running in 5,000 different directions at once, kid that's eaten 16 candy bars that's just flying off the thing, you know, adoring the crowd, cheering him on. Well, that you can't do that to the White House press corps, for God's sakes. Or, the, you know, when you don't have, you know, and sure, maybe you can get Kellyanne Conway to put on some, you know, Trump gear and cheer from the side. But the reality is that this doesn't work. He only looks, frankly, he looks like he's not mentally there when he tried to pull that off yesterday, trying to do the rally thing in the Rose Garden.
Well, but he knew the cameras were there.
Yeah.
See, and so this is where. All right, there are two things that come to mind, and the first was a very smart point you made, which is nobody remembers the point of the news conference.
Exactly.
Something that from day one of the administration has been a problem because he has handlers who – and he goes through them like, you know, you would go through candy bars because of the fact that they can't do their job. The idea is here's our message of the day. This is the message. This is the talking point. And he goes out and mechanically delivers the talking point and then goes off. And so it lost the news value, right? Mm-hmm. And that it was a huge thing. For all of those who keep saying he needs to stick to message and stay focused, God bless you. Good luck on that.
Well,
because that's just not the way that the gentleman is wired. But then you go even further with it, and this is the conundrum for the media. I was following along on the Twitter machine as this was happening, and all of these folks were talking about, he's now used the word Biden, you know, 116 times or what, you know, whatever. I mean, and there was one reporter, I think it was Kelly O'Donnell from NBC, who said, I wonder what he would do if somebody just shouted out a question. And that, of course, led people to reply, go shout one out. And others who said, get up and walk out. The news media ought to walk out if the news conference becomes a rant, becomes a campaign speech. But here's the danger of it. The danger of it is if you don't carry it and news is made, well, now what? Mm-hmm. And I think what you're going to find is that the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world are not going to take it live. And they've already shown this. But they're, you know, going forward, they're not going to take it live. They will have the little postage stamp picture of him in the corner saying, the president is speaking, we're monitoring, and if he says anything you need to know, we'll let you know. Because then they don't run the risk of just being a platform for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get that. I mean, I totally understand that. We used to do it because if a news conference is being held, I don't know, is it worth preempting programming for? We don't know what's going to be said. Tell you what, we'll monitor it, we promise, and we'll let you know. But it was simply because we didn't want to put boring programming on the air. That's not the reason for making the editorial judgment now.
When you're talking about messaging, clearly the White House is now going after Dr. Fauci and his leadership. And you said – what? Go ahead.
They backed away quick, though, today when it hit the fan, didn't they?
Well, they kind of did, but they really didn't. I mean, there's still attacks going on Fauci right now. And yeah. You had pointed out, you know, Trump is not a guy that likes to share the spotlight. So it's got to be infuriating him that Fauci is looked upon in more positive light than he is. But, you know, you really do – what was it? Navarro and Kudlow, the two economic guys, they're the ones out there screaming about all the lies he's telling on this. You know, you can't even get Azar out there, your Health and Human Services guy. I mean, it just – they everything they try to do – I mean, you're going after one of the more popular members of, you know, he's not part of the administration, but he's perceived to be part of the administration because with his name in the CDC, he comes up a lot with what's going on. But yeah. Your entire attempt to go after him and try to go and do a character assassination on him is led by your economic advisors, not your Health and Human Services. And it was so heavy-handed and so over the top that even Trump supporters are like, well, wait a minute here. I don't know if he's necessarily, you know, that evil. I don't know if he's a zombie looking for human flesh, for God's sakes.
Oh, but wouldn't that make it interesting? Here's why I was saying were backing away. Because Navarro puts this in what, the USA Today?
Yeah.
Okay. So it kind of backfires. And so now you have Trump saying, well, you know, I wish he wouldn't have done that. He shouldn't put that down in the paper. He shouldn't say these things. We all work together.
You were saying the thing about Navarro is he puts this thing in the USA Today. Trump tries to distance himself from it.
It's Navarro trying to interrupt the excellent point I'm making, and I won't stand for it. Okay, so they're distancing themselves from Navarro. But notice the point here, and you just made it. You mean you couldn't get Azar out there? No, you couldn't, because this is the fight between the business side and the health side. This is, in a microcosm, the dilemma that all of these elected officials face. You don't want to crater the economy, but you don't want a stack of body bags. And you'll notice who's speaking. It's the business people.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise, and it's not a coincidence. And it tells you that it's a divided administration. Because to your point, if the administration, and by that I simply mean the president, was of singular thought on this, it would have been the Health and Human Services Secretary. It wouldn't have been the business people. And it is the business people because, again, they're trying to pull an end run. And so they're floating this message. I think that the president or the brain trust there knew what Navarro was doing and vetted it and agreed and approved it because trial balloon. Just like those hit pieces that they were, the Oppo research from within the White House on Fauci that was handed out over the weekend. Why was it on the weekend? Again, it was designed to be stealthy and let's see how it goes and let's try this trial balloon. And then when it kind of sinks, it's like, oh, yeah, God, he shouldn't have written that. And then off they go. But that shows you. And frankly, this has nothing to do with this administration. I don't know what you would do at this point. This is something unlike anything else. So the fact that any presidential or gubernatorial or mayoral administration is confused about what to do exactly, that doesn't surprise me. But this really seems to be swinging wildly from one end of the spectrum to the other, does it not?
I think you can almost surmise it like this. Trump wants to basically command coronavirus. And he can't, and he's trying he's desperately trying to find some way to do it. And he just doesn't realize this is the reason why Trump is the worst guy to have in the White House at a time like this. A self-centered narcissist is just not the person that has the compassion. And even, W out there on 9/11, with the firefighters, Obama, the many photos of you saw him being compassionate. That is part of the gig. And just Trump has no capacity for that. And that's why I think this whole thing is just him trying to find some way to slam dunk on coronavirus, and he just doesn't understand that that's not what you do in this situation.
If you're not a person who exudes warmth and compassion, you're not a hugger by nature, you can't fake it, right? I mean, you mentioned 43 and 44. Both of them could go out in a business suit. Both of them could go out in leisure clothes. Both of them could go out and put an arm around a worker on the street, and it looked natural. You don't see that, and that's okay. I mean, we're not – don't try to be something you're not. But then to your point, at a time when you need to be reassured and feel some compassion, that's not this current president's strong suit. Yeah. And so he's trying to whip coronavirus into nothingness through verbiage because it works with human beings. Well, this is not a human being. Yeah.
When we take a break, when we come on back, I want to touch on something you mentioned about the business guys, but as well, mm-hmm. kind of the rise of the moderate Republicans and their open rejection of Trump at this point. So I always thought the people that would eventually turn on Trump would be the evangelicals, but it's not. It's actually the moderate Republicans. And you brought up earlier we were talking about the business guys who are at war with Fauci. Because there is this mentality, which I think just a lot of people, especially moderate Republicans, are not good with, which is, well, so we kill off a few grandparents, what's the big deal? And, like I said, you'd think the evangelicals would be like, whoa, we're not part of that. But in reality, it's the moderate Republicans who are like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. Not only that, but the unwillingness. I mean, I think Mitt Romney has shown that you can question this president and it's not the end of your political career. So why, I don't want Chuck Grassley to go to the GOP convention. He won't make it out of there. He just won't. And so you can come out and say, you know what? I'm not going to go. It's not safe to go. I'm not going to go. I'm going to send my chief of staff and we'll quarantine him when he comes back. but I'm going to stay back. But they don't. What they just say is, I'm in Iowa doing Iowa things. A GOP convention? Who scheduled that? When did that come about? And so, you know, there's just this – I think there's this rejection of the unwillingness to challenge Trump just on even the most basic facts that's leading people to say the moderate Republicans to walk away from that party.
Well, first of all, Chuck Grassley can kick your butt and my butt if we ganged up on him. He's an amazing 84-year-old. I mean, he runs like 4 miles a day. I barely walk from this chair to my office. Okay, that's how slovenly I am. But notice, you know, and Lamar Alexander's not going. All of these folks who are above 80 years of age, they're not going to Florida, for crying out loud.
And okay. They shouldn't, for goodness sakes. Of course not.
And no one's criticizing the decision, you know. And see, that's the thing.
Well, it sounds like in the White House there is actually some frustration that a lot of it doesn't sound like Mitch McConnell's going to go down. It's there's a lot of people that are frustrated saying, no, I moved this out of North Carolina so we could have this, and now you guys don't want to come down here. And he's taking it. It sounds like Trump's taking it personally.
Well, but he's also – well, here's the thing. He's also given some wiggle room saying, well, you know, we moved it from North Carolina. Now Florida's got a spike. So we'll have to see. Everything's kind of, you know, in flux. How'd you like to work for somebody for whom everything is always in flux, right?
Yeah.
They can't – if you're going to have a gathering, fine. But the problem is the lead time you need to put together any sort of a convention, you go to a place with very low positive test rates – and by the time of the convention in 5 weeks, it could be leading the country. That's sort of what happened with Florida. So what are they supposed to do now? Pick the place that's the worst in the country with the thought that it might have peaked so they can have the convention in August? I mean, you know, look, you and I are on Zoom or on Skype today.
Yes.
I've done three different Zoom things today. It can be done, all right? I mean, again, you know, I understand the spectacle, but the TV networks have already bailed on it. They bailed on this years ago. So it doesn't really matter. You're not going to have the balloons and the people in funny costumes marching around like you normally do. It's just not. Look, they canceled the Rose Parade today for next January in Pasadena, okay?
Yeah.
You asked me earlier today by email, would I go to a political convention today? And my answer is I wouldn't have gone before COVID, and I'm sure not going.
It's Florida, for God's sakes, no. I loved Colbert last night bringing up the point that the Trump administration is trying to figure out to do stuff outside. Yes, outside in Florida in August, that's prime time right there. Everyone's going to look like they just came out of a sauna, for God's sakes.
Well, he's a resident. He should know.
He doesn't seem to. I mean, He doesn't seem to. I agree with you. You know, I don't know if I'd go in any year, but I'm sure at this point, not in August. No, there's no way.
No, it's and again, that it's just a matter of common sense. I mean, for example, there are certain stores that say they have to wear a mask. I make the choice. I go or I stay home. Same thing with the.
Well, I got to end it there.